Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Amerigo Resources conference call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Michael Kuta, General Counsel for the company. Please go ahead, Mr. Kuta.
Thank you very much, operator. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the third quarter 2010 investor conference call of Amerigo Resources LTD on Thursday, November 4th, 2010. Before we begin our presentation, let me caution you that our comments and discussions will include forward-looking statements and information within the meaning of applicable securities legislation. Although we believe that the anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by the forward-looking statements and information are based on reasonable assumptions and expectations, you should not place undue reliance on forward-looking statements and information because they involve unknown and known risks, uncertainties, and other factors which may cause the actual results, performance, or achievements of the company to differ materially from anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements and information. You should review our press release issued yesterday and our other documents filed with the securities authorities in Canada, including our annual information form under the heading Description of the Business Risk Factors. These documents describe the material factors and assumptions that were applied in drawing the conclusions and making the forecasts and projections as reflected in the forward-looking statements and information, and the material factors that could cause our actual results, performance, or achievements to differ materially. We undertake no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements or information made in this presentation. Now, I would like to introduce our chairman, Mr. Stephen Dean.
Thank you, Michael. Welcome, everybody, to our Q3 2010 investor conference call. You just heard from Michael Kuta, our General Counsel and Corporate Secretary. Also on the line is our President, Dr. Klaus Zeigler, and our Chief Financial Officer, Aurora Davidson. As per usual, what I would propose is that I make some opening remarks. Klaus will talk a little bit about operating statistics and performance, and then we'll be pleased to throw the call open to questions. Q3 2010 was a strong performance for Amerigo from an operating cash flow and a copper production perspective. Our operating cash flow was $8.1 million. That's up some 65% from the corresponding quarter in the previous year. And our copper production was up approximately 33% against the same period last year, with a total production of 13.39 million pounds. Moly production was also 55% higher at 233,000 pounds, and Klaus will elaborate more on those production statistics, both on copper and moly. We've had some success in moly, and Klaus will explain what we're doing and what initiatives we've taken there to achieve that. Our cash flow, as I said, remains strong. When we began this year in early 2010, the company forecast that we would be annualizing, on an annualized basis, production of around 54, 55 million pounds. Based on our Q3 performance, we're at approximately 54 million pounds annualized basis, which means that we've achieved that target roughly one quarter earlier than the end of year target that we indicated earlier in the year. We also indicated a strengthening operating cash flow performance, and as you can see from on an annualized basis, we're at current metal prices and electricity prices and at current production, we're annualizing about $32 million of cash flow based on the 8.1 in the quarter, which, by the way, is based in turn on a revenue of around $2.92 per pound of copper, And of course, as we all know, copper price is significantly stronger than that. As at today, it's about $3.70, $3.80 today as we speak. So if that prevails, we should expect a continuing strong performance in operating cash flow. Power costs were, again, a challenge for us. Once again, unfortunately, not entirely in our control, although we did have a hiccup with our generators, and Klaus will talk to that. The cash position of the company continues to be strong with a cash balance of about $18 million, and we have investments with a market value in excess of, if you remind me, Aurora, but I think it's an invest of $10 million as we speak today.
No, today would be in excess of $13.5 million.
$13.5, thank you. So we have cash of, as I said, just under $18 million, and liquid securities investments as at today of about $13.5 million. So our balance sheet is in good shape. Our production outlook continues to be strong. Our outlook for the remainder of the year is a similar performance to Q3 in terms of production. Perhaps there's some upside, but at this stage we would say that a similar production outlook. And of course, we have the benefit of higher copper prices, at least to date, up to the 4th of November. Just want to say something before I hand over to Klaus. We often get questions from investors and market commentators about the copper price, and it's a natural human tendency to say, okay, what's the copper price? Oh, it's $3.70 or $3.80 today, so therefore Amerigo must be making a lot of money. The point, however, is that under the industry standard pricing mechanism, which this year is M-1, being the month of delivery minus one, what that means is that the pricing that we get for our copper production is about 1 month delayed. So in other words, the period July, August, September actually is pricing for June, July, August. So there is a lag. I would love everyone to remember that. The good news is that if it ever does turn down, then we have the benefit of an additional month of higher prices in the quarter that may be relevant. But if we could just remember that, yes, today the copper price is around $3.70, $3.80, but the end of quarter price was closer to $3.10, and our average price for the quarter, due to the pricing mechanisms that were that are standard in the industry, is around $2.92 for this quarter. So we should bear that in mind when we look at September, the Q3 results, and also, for that matter, bear that in mind for the Q4 results. At this point, I'd like to hand it over to Klaus to give us some of his insights into the operating and production statistics. Klaus?
Thank you, Stephen. As Stephen mentioned already, we are quite happy with the operating performance which we had in Q3, and continue to be happy with the operating performance. As we see it up to today, Q4 will turn out to be a strong operating quarter again. And at this point, I just like to add one little point to what Stephen was saying, where he explained that you have to remember that our copper production is always priced at M-1 this year. You also have to remember that in the first half of this year, we were significantly behind our budget production due to the massive earthquake in in February, which had repercussions for us in March and even some following months. Of course, in the short memory world in which we live, all these things are forgotten very fast. But this had further repercussions unto us for our pricing, because the M minus one is based on so-called quotational periods, which we have to inform the smelters before the start of the year. And when you are behind in your budget production, then you are behind in these quotational periods, and that means that sometimes you even go into M-2, M-3. So that is one of the explanations for the relatively low Q3 copper price. There is an additional explanation to that, namely that our sales are based on the reported deliveries to the smelter, and the smelter pays on the basis of the amount of delivered concentrates. Now, in Q3, what we have achieved is not only high production, but we also have achieved quite a significant improvement of our already good copper concentrates. Namely, in the past, we delivered copper concentrates in the range of 28.5 to 29% copper content, while in Q3, we increased that quality to between 30 and 31%. When you deliver these concentrates to the smelter does not recognize at that very moment the copper content, but is working on the basis of historical copper contents in your concentrates. So both these two elements had an impact on the pricing and on the revenue of our Q3 results. Now, in the meantime, because of our good production results, we have caught up in our quotational periods, so that right now we are up to date. We continue, as I said, to see good production results.
Well, sorry, just to interrupt, is it that the follow-through of what you said about the concentrate grade deliveries is that the metal is eventually credited once the smelting process has been completed, but that is not until the current quarter?
Yes. So this is with respect to copper production. With respect to molybdenum production, Stephen already mentioned that the production of molybdenum concentrates also increased more than 50% from the same quarter last year. It also increased substantially from in comparison to the second quarter of this year. The reason for that is that we had originally expected in our increased production from the old tailings from Kalivas that we should get increased molybdenum production. When this did not materialize, we immediately looked into the reasons for that, and we engaged a high-level expert in molybdenum. And he helped us to understand the intricacies of the process, and we are now applying the recommendations from this expert, And we already saw the result of this, particularly in the second half of August and in the months of September. Again, in the meantime, production in molybdenum concentrates have further increased. So overall, from the production point of view, we are quite happy. In Colevis, we are also starting to see the benefit of our mining in deeper regions of the deposit, of the tailings deposit. As we have always said, there are two elements to that. One, when we go deeper in the Colevis tailings, we get higher grades. We also get less oxidized material, and both these effects then have a subsequent effect in the recovery of copper and also moly. And thus, we get a double effect when we go deeper in the old tailings. So overall, quite happy about how things are going. With respect to costs, again, Stephen already mentioned that we were a little bit disappointed about the high power costs. First of all, we didn't expect them to be as high as they were, considering that usually in the second half of the year, power costs in Chile come down. And then when they stayed high, particularly in August, unfortunately, we were not able to use our full capacity of the installed generators. We were only able to use one generator during that month, and that gave us a saving of over $500,000. So, unfortunately, we missed the second generator, who would have given us an additional $500,000 savings on that. In the meantime, in the fourth quarter, power costs from the grid have come further down, but they are still not as low as we would have expected. But they are at approximately the break-even point of our own generators. So we are using the generators intermittently because there are some periods where the costs are a little bit higher than the marginal costs of our generators, but most of the time they are just at the marginal cost or below. This, I think, is all I can say with respect to present production. You also know that we have concluded a contract with El Teniente to build a pilot plant for the recovery of oxide material in the old tailings, we are hoping to get this pilot plant underway in the new year. And that, of course, will be very important because there are quite some tailings in the area which have highly oxidized material. So if this method could be applied in addition to the recovery of the sulfide material, this would, of course, have a beneficial effect on production and also, of course, on our relationship with El Teniente, which is very good, but could even improve further. El Teniente knows and is appreciative that we have helped them in the past, solving some of the environmental environmental issues which exist, which always exist, and this would, of course, further improve that situation. I think that's about all I'd like to say at this point, and I would expect your questions.
Thank you. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you wish to cancel your question, you may press the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while the participants register. Thank you for your patience. The first question is from Tom Meyer from Toronto. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Hello, Stephen. Hello, Coach.
Hi, Tom.
This relates more for curiosity, both on the moly improvement, but also on the oxide material. But what are we looking at on the moly side? Is that a new reagent scheme, and does that reagent scheme add materially to the cost of recovering moly? And then the next part is, on the oxide material, how should we be thinking about this? Is this a sulfidization idea, or is this a potential stirred tank leaching idea?
Well, it is a sulfidation idea at this point, I think this is important because we don't know at this point the magnitude of the oxidized material. This is being studied. And if you have a limited amount of this material, it would probably not make sense to build for additional production a SXEW plant. However, if the material is at a level where the construction of such of a relatively high capital intensive SXEW plant would be justified, then probably that is also a way which we could go. But anyway, as I said, so we will be testing this method, and so then depending on the outcome of the magnitude of the material available, we are able to choose which method we could use. With respect to the use of reagents, yes, we do use some additional reagents in order to extract higher molybdenum values from the tailing stream, but it is not a significant item. It will increase the costs a little bit, but really not significant.
Okay, and then just further, not referring to any reserves or anything, but just globally of what Amerigo has potential control of from a resource standpoint, what fraction of that resource would this oxide opportunity be looking at? Is it 25%, 15%, or how big is that potential opportunity?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It could only be 10%, but it could also be 200%.
No, I mean like in terms of like your total the global resource potential. So what you're saying is that you are you saying that you can potentially expand that resource because you have that additional unit operation that allows the recovery of the highly oxidized material?
Well, as you know, Tom, right now we are processing the fresh tailings.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take the fresh tailings to the end of our present contract, just that, you know, just assume that we will not be able to renew our contract. That means we will receive something like 600 million tons to the end of that to the end of that contract. On top of it, we have 200 million tons in one of the tailings ponds. So what we have under contract at this point is 800 million tons. We know that there are an additional 700 million tons of old tailings in the area, for which, as you know, we don't have a contract at this point. Part, and we don't know at this point how much of that material is oxidized. We do know that some, a very small portion of the present old tailings, which we have under contract, are also oxidized. So that's why I mentioned, you know, 10-15% to 200%.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Thanks. Thanks very much. I'll
yep.
let the others ask questions too. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from Stephen Otridge from Vancouver. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, gentlemen. One thing I noticed in the production numbers that the recovery of the copper is only around about 27%. And I must admit, I hadn't realized it was so low. Is there no way, whereas moly recovery is 82%, so is there no way of improving the copper recovery?
No, I think you are comparing apples and oranges there.
Uh-huh.
The 27% is the overall recovery from the tailings to the copper in copper concentrates.
Mm-hmm.
When you mention the 82% of recovery in moly, you are quoting the recovery rate from the copper moly concentrate
okay.
to the separation of moly concentrates and copper concentrates.
Okay, so, but I still find it quite surprising that the number of the recovery percentage is only 28% recovery of copper from all the tailings. So a lot of copper
yes.
is still going
yes.
off down.
Yeah, yes, yes. Again, you have to look at the process which, or the processes.
Mm-hmm.
that we are using in order to better understand that. Our recovery from fresh tailings in the portion of the tailings which are going through our mills
mm-hmm.
is higher than 27%. It's in the range of 37 to 40%.
Okay.
Our recovery of the portion of the tailings from the old tailings ponds, which are going through the mills, is between 50 and 60%. Our recovery in our innovative cascade process, which is the process which doesn't have any energy costs, any labor costs, any reagent costs, any cost.
Mm-hmm.
In the cascade process, where we are putting the fines, so in that case, the material is not going through the mills. We are recovering only between 10 and maximum 15%, mostly perhaps 10, 12%. So the final result is you know the average between all these recoveries, and then on top of it, you have to know how much of the material which you treated during that time is oxidized and which is sulfide. So when you have high oxidized material, you have a lower recovery. So when you take the recovery and only apply it to the non-oxidized material, to the sulfide material, then your recoveries again are higher. The 27%, which you mentioned, is the average recovery over the total copper content.
Okay. Klaus, I would add to that, too. Steve, I think you need to realize where you cannot compare us with a primary ore processor. You cannot compare us because a primary ore processor will get somewhere between 85 and 90% typically.
Right, yeah, it was.
And that is on a head grade, for example, in the case of Teniente, of around 1%. Now, what happens is that when that ore is first processed, the recovery, as I said, is about, let's say, 89%. That leaves, in the case of Teniente, that leaves 0.11 or 0.12% of copper left in the tailings for us to recover, which obviously is a very, very low grade in the first instance, so there's a challenge by itself. And the second thing you need to appreciate is that the component of oxidation that Klaus referred to in the tailings we receive is much higher than the percentage of oxidation that is there of the total ore, primary ore, when it's processed by Teniente, because they are recovering most of the sulfide ore and not much of the, if any, of the oxide ore. So therefore, the oxide component of the stream we receive is concentrated.
Right, right. Okay, I understand that now. Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad if you have a question. There are no further questions registered at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting over to the speakers.
Sounds like we might have spent too much time on metallurgy 101 and not on some of the numbers. But if there are no more questions, I'll just give people another few seconds to hit their phone. But in the absence of any other question, we will wrap up the call. We will update our website with our traditional quarterly video. If any of you ever want to see me live to present our Q3 results, I don't look that good on TV, but you may judge that yourself. The other thing is we're about to launch a extensive roadshow to broadcast our and communicate our results in the various markets at the end of the week. And I look forward to meeting many of our shareholders and investors in that roadshow. If there are no more questions, thanks for listening. And we look forward to presenting our full year results towards the end of February next year. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. I'm sorry to interrupt. We do have another question from a David Peach.
David, do you have a question?
I'm sorry, he has hung up at this time. I do apologize.
I scared him off. Okay, no problem. Thanks, operator. Thanks,
you're
everybody.
Welcome. Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time, and we thank you for your participation.